Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Jessica with a special episode of Turn the Page podcast, and I'm very pleased to have some guests on today who we've had on before, and there are local high school students and library users. Would you like to introduce yourselves and then tell us what we're here to talk about today?
Yeah, so I'm Anoush Karishi. I'm a sophomore at Syosset High School, and I'm part of this robotics team named Syosset Elite.
Yeah, my name is Yash. I am a programmer for Syosset Elite, and I'm a sophomore at Syosset High School as well.
Hi, my name is Krishiv. I'm a builder for Syosset Elite, and obviously I go to Syosset High School as well.
Are you also a sophomore?
Yes, I am also a sophomore. We're in a sophomore team.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome. We've actually had Syosset Elite Robotics on before, but tell us a little bit about what you would be doing if this was not a crazy pandemic year, and then we'll go into what you are doing.
So at this stage, we'd probably be going to like scrimmages and preparing for a competition. But first of all, the competition we go to isn't pushed back for us. So now instead of going to a competition in January or February, we're gonna be going to our first competition in March. So we have a lot more time to prototype this year, and you know, we would be at scrimmages right now, but right now we're still in the process of putting our robot together and getting programming. But yeah, if we were in a regular year, we'd also be doing in-person outreaches, but you know, obviously Corona and social distancing, so it's very hard to do those. Right now we're actually switched it up and we're doing online outreaches, which I think Yash would be the best to talk about since he did a lot of those over the summer.
Yeah, tell us about those.
Yeah, so since March, we had our first meeting on the Google Meet, and we were all very new to this, and we don't know how long we're going to be like this, what's school going to be like, what's our daily routine going to be like. So what we started doing is we started teaching. We have this team, Smarties, and they work with Legos, and that's how they build their robots. So we want to teach them a little bit more coding, and of course, if we can't do it in person, we thought, how about we teach them how to code in Scratch via Google Meet or Zoom? And that really sparked one of our ideas. So we started teaching maybe once a week. Then from there, we started doing advanced classes where we go more in depth and not just live classes, make videos, show the kids how to do this, and they can follow along. And a group of students on our team, we had Hudson, Keaton, and Aryan. They're sophomores as well on the team. And they really thought of a huge idea of teaching CAD, which is computer automated design, over the summer and in March and up until school started. So we were really active during quarantine.
Yeah, and our team also has achieved a lot with that. Many of our members are now eligible for the Presidential Service Award. And so, you know, we've totaled 600 hours of teaching online and being able to give back. And, you know, since things don't seem like they're going to go back to normal for a couple other months, we actually have some new projects that we're thinking of, which I think Anoushka would also be able to talk about a lot.
Yes, let's get into that.
Yeah, so we are right now, as of now, we've also been working on a project called Project Rad, which we talked about, which we did over the summer. And it's basically, I think, Krishiv, you came up with the idea, right? Krishiv came up with the idea and he proposed it to our coach. And we went from there. We had to start off, we're making PPE for our local nursing homes, hospitals. And we had to first start off, the first thing that we had to do was get the material and get the printers to print our PPE. So we had to, there was a lot going on. We talked to the school, it was going back and forth. First, we weren't able to get it, but then we asked again and again. And eventually we were able to, and it was a huge success. We were able to deliver to about 7 different nursing homes, hospitals across Long Island. And we made, how many did we make? Around 200 face shields?
Yes, yeah, around 200 at first.
Yeah.
It was like 250, I think. 250, yeah.
250. So after that, we were like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. So we decided that we want to kind of deliver internationally. So I was able to get a contact in Ghana, and we sent another 250 face shields there. And now we're trying to deliver to India. Where else?
And then a little bit more domestically, we're also shipping to Florida and I believe California, if that is also possible.
Yes, and Texas.
And Texas.
Amazing. And it really, you know, it's a real testament to just how driven Syosset students are. The crazy thing is, like, you know, you talk about like making PPE and face shields. If someone had said to you, like, oh, we need PPE back in, like, January, would you have known what they were talking about?
I don't think so. I mean, it was a pretty, like, new concept, I guess. And, like, it was all, I guess, like, a process that took a while. Because even when we, like, proposed the ideas to the school, they're like, how are you going to make PPE out of, like, 3D printed parts?
Yep.
There was a lot of back and forth for a while, which Anushka can attest to because... You know, we were writing emails every other week trying to convince the school because it's not only like they couldn't give us the 3D printers, it was also like a liability as well. Like,
yeah.
Students, like these are like $1,000 machines that we need to give to the students. How are we going to handle this? So it was a long process to say the least.
It's funny because I had, you know, not heard that term. And now everybody knows what it means. And, you know, it's pretty great to see that when the need was there, you know, immediately everybody just sort of was like all hands on deck. Let's see how we're going to do this. So how did you go about getting all of these connections and reaching out to, I guess, nationally and internationally?
Yeah, so to get connections, I kind of just called up any nursing home or a hospital that was nearby, and I asked, do you need PPE? And most often they said yes, so that's how we got contacts from there. And from Ghana, I got a contact. So I was actually at a rally, like a Black Lives Matter march, and then there was a speaker there, and she said that she had contacts in Ghana, so I kind of talked to her afterwards and asked, do you have any contacts with hospitals in Ghana? And then she said yes, so that's kind of how we did that.
Yeah, so my aunt is actually a doctor in India, and so she called me, and because my relatives had talked about the project, she called me and she asked, you know, if we were able to produce the PPE for them and send it out, and I was like, of course. And so now in the past couple of months, we've been trying to, you know, get this all in order, because even with like we have the product, just shipping it is the hardest part actually for making
it. For sure, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's so many restrictions and all that type of stuff now. It's a real crazy mess.
Yeah, and for California, Florida, and Texas, what I was looking at is, yes, we were planning to go to Ghana and India and above internationally, right? So I was seeing all the issues that we had with shipping and flying this, that. So I'm like, okay, well, we could do that for sure. But I think we should also send by UPS or USPS ship across the country. That would be very helpful as well, especially in California, because they have a really high number of cases.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a good place for us to target.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, I know that there's like a great need in general in Syosset. We have quite a few nursing homes and rehab centers and assisted living. So I, you know, on the local level, that's amazing. And then of course on the international level, I think, you know, everybody should be very impressed with your networking skills. Clearly you were at places, you had a deep passion for, you know, different types of need and different types of social needs, and you saw an avenue to use what you were doing to help in another way as well. And I think that that's fabulous. Where did you find the design for the face shields?
So essentially when this whole started, my original idea was to print something out like this, a like N95 mask type of thing. But we printed this and we realized, oh my God, this is going to be impossible to like replicate over and over and over. And it's also really uncomfortable. So we came, so essentially like none of this would have been possible without like the maker community. And like, I think that's really shown and a lot of people stepped up. Some companies like Prusa Printers and like this online maker called MakerMuse, they all release different types of STLs, which is the file you use to 3D print for like different types of face shields and whatnot. And so we ended up going with this style right here.
So, okay. So you went, wait, you ended up going with the second one.
Yes. So this one was actually, so there was a method, there's a method called stack printing, which essentially means that instead of just printing one of these at a time, we can print about 16 of these at a time by stacking them up and up and up. And so a lot of, essentially, we actually got like a majority of this file from the district approved first. So we got the file, and then our head of CAD, Keaton, he formatted it in the MakerBot software slicer, and then we sent it to the district. The district approved it, and we got it back. And then we were able to print these. And so essentially, I believe, depending on the model of the MakerBot, it's about 14 to 12 hours for 16 face shields.
Yeah, it takes a while to 3D print stuff. Yeah, that's, but that's great. So you're, so it was the head of CAD for the robotics team.
Yeah.
So you're like shifting your skills from something you would be doing, because clearly, you know, like you were saying, your competitions, is it scrimmages?
Yeah. So basically every year we compete against, I think, around 60 teams on Long Island, from usually they're from high schools. And what there is about, we go to qualifiers. There's six qualifiers and they all lead up to one regionals match. So in the qualifiers, there are about, I would like to say about 10 matches. Couple of them are for just for scoring to see how you place on the leaderboard. And then from the leaderboard, halfway through the match, we choose which teams move on to the elimination matches, and that determines who goes to regionals. And around that, besides that, the only way to get the regionals is to get Inspire Award or get other awards along the way that really show that your team is different from the rest. Yeah, the robot, what we had to do is each year they give out a game that has tasks where we had to command the robot and build a robot that can do all that. So each year is different. And last year, all we had to do is grab some stones and stack them up with our teammate robot. And this year, what we had to do is take rings and shoot them into a goal. So, yeah.
So normally that's like the type of design you'd be doing, but since things are kind of on hold and you know you know that you're not going to be in any scrimmages until March, you know, you all really pivoted very quickly into using those skills to help not just the Syosset community but the international community, and I think that that's fabulous. So if people are interested in learning more about your team and what you're doing and maybe how they can help you out, where can they find you and what are some suggestions you have?
So one of the first things where you can find us is our Instagram, which is syosset.robotics.elite, E-L-I-T-E. And so that's where we post everything. You can see pictures of our projects and whatnot. And we also have a link tree there as well. So you can go to things like our GoFundMe, which we have set up for the project, and our website, which Josh can also talk about because he made that with Anushka.
Yeah, so we worked on a website to describe everything we do. We have the classes we teach, our robots, and we also have our stats linked into the link tree so that other teams can see where we compete and how good we are.
We also have one other site called Academy where you can come and sign up for our CAD classes as well if you want to learn how to do things like 3D CAD. So you can create things like, you know, or prototype things just like the face shield that I showed because that's where this all comes from. It's come from 3D aided design. And yeah, I mean, entirely, I have to say this project would not have been possible without our CAD team, because, you know, they're the ones who really helped us out with getting this to be able to print, and efficiently too. Because originally the MakerBot would have printed that in 32 hours, but if it weren't for the adjustments they were able to make, we reduced that time to 12 hours, which is absolutely insane, I think.
Yeah, that's amazing. I know we dabble in the 3D printing ourselves at the library, and we contributed to, there was a 3D printer farm out in Suffolk where all the libraries kind of put their 3D printers. And that was kind of fun to watch. I don't know if you saw any pictures of that, but it was crazy because like there were every 3D printer you can imagine there, but it takes a long time. So it's pretty great that you were able to find a way to do that more efficiently.
Yeah, I mean, efficiently is a question. I used to wake up, so we used to run this over the summer, and sometimes, so one of the runs was 12 hours and the other one is like 14, and so they don't match up perfectly, so sometimes I would put them on in the morning and then it'd be an extra long time I put it on at night, and then I have to wake up at 3 a.m. the next day to put the next batch on. So it's like a really crazy cycle, I guess you could say. But in the end, it's really worth it. And in recent days, I think our entire team has been really grateful for this project. We got a lot of feedback and pictures from the Ghana donation, and I think that really showed that, wow, this project made a difference and how much our team can make a difference as well.
Can they find, can our listeners find pictures of that on your Instagram as well? I'm going to make sure that that we have a link to it when we put out this episode.
Yeah, so our Instagram contains updates as well as pictures of all our projects and outreaches that we do as well. We try and update it as much as possible, so the most recent information is on there about it. And you can also go and sometimes read as well, because we did get featured in a couple newspaper articles as well over the summer regarding the project. So if you guys are interested in reading those, you can see those on our Instagram. And I believe she also has something that she'd like to show, right?
Talk to us.
Okay, so during the start of this year, I reached out to our legislator, Josh Lafazan, and I asked him if we could receive citations after I told him about the project that we did. He said he was super proud of us, he was super amazed, and he ended up giving the six people that worked on this project all citations, and he gave one for our team too.
Josh is fabulous. He's definitely Syosset's own, and he's going places, but he's Syosset. He makes us proud as a community, and so do you. So Josh started as a Syosset high school student with ambitions, and you have ambitions as well. And I think what the most important thing that we're realizing here is that even though we're all in separate places recording this, in normal times, we'd have people in the studio. I think you'd been in the studio at one point as well, before pre-COVID times, a million years ago. But, we're all coming together and we're using our initiative to just make things better. And I think this is what makes you all truly elite.
Yeah, and I would also like to shout out the rest of our members who worked on this project as well. Not only was it me, Yash, and Anushka, but it was also Francesca, Napoleon, Hudson, Welfare, and Mayu Takino. I believe I'm saying that right? Yeah, so they, all six of us, worked on our Instagram as well. You can see pictures of that, boxing, all that type of stuff. And a special thanks to Dr. Durante as well, principal of our high school, because without his faith in us, I don't think this project would have been possible. I mean, he's really been a gift to our robotics program, I gotta say.
I recall when he was Mr. Durante, doing well by all of us back in Syosset High School in the 90s, so I give him a shout out as well.
Usually I would send updates on our project, like how we were doing. I'd send him pictures to see, and often he would send back. He'd be so proud.
Again, thank you all so much for being here. On behalf of Syosset Library and the Syosset community and the international community, thank you for doing what you're doing. Of course, you know, we all look forward to hearing about your wins in the robotics fields, which I'm sure will be stacking up once things get back to normal. But I think one lesson that we've all learned from COVID is that we're always ready for action where it's needed. So whether it be, you know, something like, you know, being in on the robotics team, there's so much that you're gleaning from what you're learning that it's absolutely invaluable. So thank you all so much.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate it. And, you know, this helps in trying to get awareness about the project as well, because without the community, this wouldn't have been possible. And all the donations we got as well because of it.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, once again, this was Jessica, and my guests were
Anushka.
I'm Yash.
And I'm Krishiv.
And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.